great Deacon Tovia. Shabbat Shalom.
You may be seated. How's everyone doing on this wonderful Sabbath day here at the Great House of Yahweh? So today I want to pick up where I left off during the feast, talking about the cost of this beastly system, the system of the people and by the people, the system that has nothing to do with Yahweh's system of unity. As Pastor's been bringing out, the Yahweh's kingdom of unity, bringing his people in unity with one another. But I have a question for you. Do you believe everything the Last Day's Witness, Jisrael Hawkins, says?
Yes.
You do. Praise Yahweh. You know, because the little points that he says, he says, well, the house of Yahweh can do this. Really consider that, because he's telling you we can do it. So don't, not trust in it. And I'm going to get into that here in just a little bit, a statement that he had made within the past 6 months. But I want to start off, this article is talking about the United States Navy, okay? And what they're doing is, they have drones in the air, okay? And they're able to fly over, they can see anything. They have a 52 million megapixel camera that they just created for their drones. They can zoom into any area within 17 square miles and open up 250 windows at one time. But at 250 different places on the ground, okay? So this is big technology. This is something that they're like, hey, this really works. So this is what they're doing now. Hey, this is their latest and greatest. The Navy's ocean-powered drones wage underwater war, okay? It says, while American drones patrol the skies in war-torn countries like Afghanistan, the United States is also looking to establish a similar presence in the world's oceans by using underwater drones. These new ocean-fearing drones called Slycam gliders do not need fuel to function like their aerial opponents do. Instead, they power themselves by the ocean's current. Okay, so you see what this is, right? They're not having to stop and refuel them. They drop them in the water and they just go. Okay? It's stealthy scanning the ocean current itself. Stealthily scanning the surrounding areas and feeding back information to the military vessels, okay? The gliders were first commissioned by the Navy in 2009 when it invested over $56 million into the program. That's when they first started dealing with this. If you see there, $56 million, okay? Then you have the world governments spend $1,738 billion murdering and destroying property each year. $1,738 billion, okay? Here's another article. The marijuana in the U.S. is a $113 billion business. Okay? $113 billion business. Now remember what Pastor talked about the marijuana, how it destroys the mind. The U.S. Navy spends $4 billion every year on fuel. Okay? So you see where this money is being spent. We could spend it on this right here, this little $10 manual, and we could solve all the problems out there. But instead, we're wanting to try to solve our problems through the way of Cain. Okay? Here's something I wanted to show you. This is just a scale here. What this blue one is, this is cancer, the deaths due to cancer, okay? So these are the deaths due to cancer. These are the deaths due to terrorism. And it's 2,900. That's what they say, that people that have died from terrorism. Here's how much money the Cancer Association gets. $50 billion. Here's how much money we've spent in the last 10 years on terrorism. Okay? $1.26 trillion. So you see how, it's not, we could say, let's solve the problem of cancer. There's 5.6 million people dying from cancer. Let's put the money there. But instead, we're wanting to put the money into the war. And this was prophesied, you know, through the prophets, that this is how it was going to be, that bringing about the malice. Okay? Now, here's the point I was talking about when Pastor made the comment that the house of Yahweh could create a million jobs overnight by turn this system around, the legal system, or the lawyers. Okay? So here is, and I hope everyone went down to the exhibit this feast and looked at the plaques and read them, because a lot of this information was in there. But it says, examining the true cost of America's legal system. Okay, and what this is talking about the tort system. All right, let me read you what that is before I get into this. It's a common law. It's like a civil wrong, okay? It's between two people. This isn't like, you know, multi-million-dollar corporations or companies or any of that. This is just two people, someone injures someone, either in a car accident or something like that, that would cause them pain or suffering, and what they do is they try to prove that that person did it, okay? So this is the cost of just that group of lawyers and judges and the money that's being put into it. Okay? It says, the study reports the total accounting cost for the tort liability system amounts to $865.73 billion. Okay? That's $200 billion more dollars than what we spent on our defense budget last year. Okay? We spent $651 billion on our military. This is $200 billion more. Less than 15% of the amount goes to compensate for injured people. So out of that money, the $856 billion, only 15% of that is actually going to the person that was injured in the lawsuit. Okay? The federal government currently spends about $65 billion on schools and education. That's less than one-tenth the cost of lawsuits. In 2005, the total amount chargeable given to Americans totaled $260 billion. That's less than one-third of the lawsuits. It's charitable, the charitable amount. The budget for the Pentagon and conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan totaled about $500 billion in 2006. That's less than two-thirds the cost of lawsuits in America. So you can see how, you know, when Pastor made that comment, it's actually a lot higher. We could create more like a billion jobs. So this system of the lawyers, okay? If we took one person and we gave them $8 an hour, now this is paying them to work, creating jobs. And you have to remember that, like Pastor talked about with the lawyers, you have what it does is it actually stops people from wanting to invest in businesses and wanting to create businesses, because they're saying, well, you know, I could get sued, I could lose all this, and so on and so forth, okay? But you figure $320 per week per person, that is, I just figured 10 million people, okay? So if we took 10 million people and gave them a job, a paying job at $8 an hour, that's only $303.2 billion. So you can see how you could create a lot of jobs just by educating this system, the legal system, on how they should be going about things and how they should be, solving their problems. Okay? And remember, you know, what Daniel talked about, the amount of laws and the legal system. Okay? And Pastor's talked about that before. Now, here's another article, America's Awful, Terrible, No Great, Very Bad Prison System. Okay? It says, the International Center for Prison Studies estimates that American imprisons 716 people per 100,000 citizens of any age. That compares with Russia at 484, China at 121, and Iran at 284. Over 2.5 million American children have a parent behind bars. A whopping 60% of those incarcerated in U.S. prisons are nonviolent offenders, okay? The high rate of incarceration and an inability to deal with the recidivism, partial results of high rates of incarceration, are bad for society. In 2008, the federal, state, and local prison system cost a whooping $75 billion. It's estimated that the total cost of the drug war over the past 40 years could be over $1 trillion, okay? So you can see the money that's being spent there in just the prisons, okay? The American prison system should be our greatest source of shame. The only country that imprisons more people per capita is North Korea, okay? And let's see here. The total cost of prisons. Our prison system was not built to hold nearly the amount of prisoners we currently house, let alone the predicted increasing numbers and pushing further the global recidivism. Well over 70,000 people are being held in systems designed to hold 50,000, okay? Although the captivity of the penal system is being increased, the rise of number of people within the system is outstripping the rate of new places can be provided. Okay, so they can't provide enough places for the prisoners as it is right now, and we're still incarcerating people. The recidivism rate is extremely high still. Okay, it says it costs $65,000 to imprison a person in its country once the police and court cost and all other steps are taken into account. After it costs a further $40,000 each year they spend incarcerated. Okay, so they're going to spend $65,000 in all the to get them there, and then they spend $40,000 every year after that to keep as long as they're incarcerated. The growth in the prison population is not revised, then more prisons will have to be built at a huge expense. This is without taking into account the effect of the economy and what would be made by having another person in the working population and contributing to taxes rather than drain them. Now, imagine if allowing 20,000 who are not suited or unwilling to undergo training. Okay, so what they're saying is, let's take 50,000 inmates and train them. And what they're doing is they're comparing this to what would occur if they just sent them out without any training. Okay, and they didn't say what type of training; they just said training. And we all know that the only way that you can successfully train someone is through the peaceful solution. Okay, train them how not to continue in that same cycle. Okay, so without the training, statistics show that 75% of the 50,000, that's 37,500, would be reoffenders, okay? Thus ending back up in prison. With it, with the training, they could find jobs and buy homes and pay their taxes, which could be used to pay for hospitals rather than extra prisons. And extra prisons would no longer be needed. Okay, so you can see how this system, dealing with every part of it, it isn't going to work unless we start to train and teach, as pastors been teaching us how to teach, how to train them. And how to spend the money that Yahweh has given this country of the United States. Because right now, that's all we use it for is war and bringing harm and all these things. But just think if we just took one aspect of the system, any part of it, how much you could do with it. I mean, you could really teach a lot of people and educate them on, you know, how to have a better life, how to solve conflicts and all these things. And, you know, with the lawyers, you know, we're going to teach them. We're going to teach and train them and turn this system around. We're not going to, you know, just, you know, oh, you know, y'all are, you know, forget it. Just knock y'all off over here. We're going to be teaching them. We're going to be training them on, you know, what was the problem with the system, why it doesn't work, you know. And remember what Pastor said, you know, let's be a part of this system of unity, Yahweh's system of unity here at the Great House of Yahweh, because it can't fail, you know. If you look at every aspect of it, there's no way the system of unity and learning and teaching and guiding and showing your brother, you know, not expecting him to pay to learn a trade or, you know, to go to a college and have to pay to learn this or that. Yahweh offers you here at the House of Yahweh for free, okay? And you can come and learn these things. You can come and learn to be the greatest teacher underneath the priest and pastor and Yeshua Messiah and Yahweh in the world. You can learn to do that. So with this, I want to encourage you, you know, keep up the great work. Keep pushing forth, because this system isn't going to last much longer, okay? The money's running out. There is no money. We're creating it. We take it from this spot over here where there is no money, and we kind of just make it appear, okay? So remember, Yahweh's system is forever. Yahweh's kingdom is forever. And remember that you want to be a part of that here at the Great House of Yahweh. So with this, I'm going to turn it over to the great Deacon David Knighton.
Great job. Shabbat Shalom, Saints of Yahweh. Please be seated on this beautiful Sabbath day. Sure is great to be home here, I'll tell you what. It's terrible out there in the world. This is the only place of protection and safety on the face of the earth. Safety for our minds. It's refreshing. You can actually do your work without having to, without the pain that's going on around out in the world out there. You can actually be here at the House of Yahweh, and your mind can focus on the work you're doing rather than all those things that are going on around you. Yes, we do need to remember those things, and that's what this is about. This is remember. And there is a war going on for our minds. And that's what we have to remember. This war, you know, you have to remember that the adversary is very powerful. The adversary is a professional at waging war. Let's turn to Daniel 7:25. The adversary's been doing it a long time, too. Satan has been at work a long time learning exactly how to push your buttons, exactly how to make you remember what she wants you to remember. It hasn't stopped. It's going on right now. And this is part of the stuff that we have to guard our mind from. Daniel 7:25. It says, and he will speak, that's on page 679, by the way. And he will speak great words against Yahweh and will wear out, mentally attack to cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh and think to change times, Yahweh's feast days and laws, and they will be given into his hand till a time, times dividing a time. Go back to that mentally attack. Everybody read it real quick. Just look at it. Mentally attack. I think sometimes we forget about this attack that's taking place. We get so caught up in all the little petty things that are taking place around us. Maybe someone stepped on our toe, did a little something we didn't exactly agree with. And we have to remember that Satan is at work everywhere out there. The prince of the power of the air, controlling the airwaves, these mental attacks, we need to guard ourselves from them and never, ever take hold of them on purpose with a willing mind. Never, ever do that. So remember, those mental attacks will come, and we need to guard ourselves and be ready to deal with this. And how are we going to do it? We're going to do it with the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. I'd like to bring to your remembrance for a moment the effects of music on the mind. Now, the great future priest brought that out, and we talked a little bit about it. And just to remind you, I'd like to mention the mind one more time. It says that it's possible to use the rhythm of sound to control the rhythm of brain waves. And that's called entrainment. It actually alters the state of consciousness. It alters it to one of these other states, either beta, which is when an individual is attending to a task, like math, for instance. Then another one, alpha, is predominant and is when someone is in a relaxed state. In fact, they claim that this may be where hypnotism takes place, at these higher levels of alpha. The theta condition is extremely relaxed, and this is where they say meditation and approaching sleep. And then delta is the sleep condition. So what this music tries to do is to take you to a different state of consciousness so that it can enter into your mind, into the deepest areas of your mind, so that you will remember the music and the words and never, ever forget it. Satan knows that, and she's a pro at it, remember. All of us right now, I'm not saying to do it, please, but all of you right now can probably immediately think of a commercial jingle from TV or a song that can pop into your mind that's influenced by whatever influences we allow ourselves near. You know, from smells to tastes to sounds, all these things can influence you in what you allow into your mind. The reason I'm telling you this is because it can actually take you into a bit of a hypnotic trance. And the entire brain actually resonates, the waveforms of both hemispheres becoming identical in frequency. And this is when the sound phasing and subliminal programming can take place. I know that's a lot to remember, and I didn't nearly cover everything on these pages. But it's important that you know that this is real, it is scientific, and it does take place every day of our life. I'd like to read a short article to you. And this is talking about how your brain operates on music. It says, hearing a piece, this is on sciencehowstuffworks.com. It says that hearing a piece of music is also tied to memories. If this is a song that was playing during an emotional time, then the medial prefrontal cortex where memory is stored lights up. Since this is one of the last brain areas to fall prey to the ravages of Alzheimer's, researchers have found that people with the condition can remember songs from long ago, even when they can't remember what they did yesterday. So you see how Satan has really played this all the way down to the hilt of this mental attack on the minds. She's a pro at it. She knows how it works. And even people that can't remember anything of what's taking place in their normal day-to-day activities can cough up one of those songs, one of those jingles, just like you or I could. Remember that, because see, there's a lot of involuntary actions taking place there too. So we never want to make it voluntary. I'm going to keep stressing on that. We never want to make it voluntary where we're listening to this music and allowing Satan's preaching to come into your mind and into your heart. You know, the Catholic Church pushes this. Just like with the schooling, all the schools are involved in music, even homeschooling now. And there'll be more articles on that, where it's becoming required that music is a part of the everyday curricula. Back on Youth Day 2014 in Brazil, there were over 3 million people that gathered on the beach for an all-night party awaiting the Pope's speech or mass, I guess, the next day. The Pope said the youth should hang out, listen to music, dance, you know, etc. on the beach. And they did that all night long. They partied all night long, dancing, listening to music, becoming highly emotionally charged like the Catholic Church does. In fact, we have a short, very short clip that I'd like to show. And listen to the requirements for sainthood that's in there. And I'll point something out to you momentarily. Can we show the clip?
Catholic Church will do something it's never done. It will declare two popes to be saints on the same day. John XXIII, who modernized the church through the Second Vatican Council in 1962, and John Paul II, who helped end communism in Eastern Europe, including his native Poland. The church has been making saints for at least 1,200 years, and this month in Rome, we met one of the men who does the work of raising mere mortals to the divine. You make saints.
I make saints. Well, God makes saints, and I work on the proofs.
You do the paperwork.
I do the paperwork.
Father Mark Lindeyer of the Netherlands is the Vatican's vice postulator of Jesuit sainthood causes. He's an investigator who fills red volumes with proof of piety for would-be saints. Are miracles still required?
Miracles are still required.
And how do you establish evidence of a miracle?
Normally, we prefer miraculous healings. And I remember the day I came into the congregation and someone showed me one piece of paper and said, this is sufficient to prove the miracle. Because here was a declaration that someone was healed from a horrible disease that was known by all medical science is completely incurable, and this person, from one moment to the other, was healed perfectly.
And that's enough.
And that's enough. Well, I mean,
pretty good miracle.
It's a pretty good miracle.
Listen closely to this next section.
A tougher miracle is lasting fame, which is also required. The Vatican is always a very popular place, but how do you measure the popularity of a potential saint? How do you measure devotion? Well, it turns out, right outside St. Peter's Square, they've got a very good barometer.
Souvenir shops are a very good criterion for devotion.
I think that would surprise a lot of people.
Well...
But that's one way that the faithful vote.
I mean, that's how you measure popularity.
Lindeyer says John Paul II refrigerator magnets still attract the faithful, but the recently retired Benedict XVI is fading.
If after 5 years that fame is still there, or even better, has become bigger, we have the first stepping stone for a process. And then one starts hearing witnesses, gathering documentary evidence of that sanctity.
It used to be that the process of becoming a saint couldn't even begin until 50 years after a person's death. Well, that changed recently to 5 years. Linger thinks that that's not enough time.
Praise Yahweh. You can remain seated. Refrigerator magnets? That's how they decide if they're going to have a saint. I wanted to show that because you might think that refrigerator magnets are relatively harmless. But there's something deeper going on. Remember, Satan knows how the mind works, and she knows how the memory works. And so those refrigerator magnets, those little bobbing head Marys that you see in the back seat of cars going down the road occasionally, maybe not so much here, but in some states, the rosaries hanging from the mirror, all these things that the Catholics have, those that are, quote, devoted, these are all remembrances that help bring everything back to their mind and keep their mind totally involved and enslaved into the worship of Satan. We here at the House of Yahweh know a lot about memory and remembrances. And, you know, Yahweh's always trying to help us in every way that we can be helped. Pastors work very, very, very hard to make sure that we have all the remembrances that we need to be able to make it into the kingdom. I have a picture here I'd like to show you real quick. And you've seen it before. Okay, let's see if I can get it a little bit bigger there. Is this working?
Yeah.
Okay, can everybody see that? Can you see it now? Don't forget, every time you drive out those gates, those signs are there for you. They've been there a long time. Don't forget the things that you've learned here at the House of Yahweh. Remember, 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 so that you can have your mind guarded and protected against the evils out there in the world. every feast, Pastor makes sure that we have things to help us remember, too, that are very significant. And you're going to hear a little more about this soon, I'm sure. But for instance, the priests wore the 7613 sash. Can everybody see that? Is it, well, okay, let's try it like this. Wore the purple sash with the 7613. We all had purple. We had our own sashes. The men had purple ties, right? We've got a brand new calendar out for the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. This is a great reminder for you to keep peace each and every day. Each and every day, or each and every month, you can see a great message from Pastor. And you can look at these things every day and be reminded of the work taking place around the world. We also have, there's been no expense spared in getting these books together for you. The Children's Book of Israel, if you look in here, if you don't have this for your children, you need to get it. There are thinking tools all throughout the book to help your children to think and to guard their mind and to keep their mind free of Satan worship in any manner. We have the books of Israel. You know, the most recent one is the purple one. I don't have it with me, but I just wanted to bring a few up here and show you that we have these things available for us. Not only that, we also have everything you need to be able to teach the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, including overviews that help you learn how to explain the program to people. And then it goes through the entire selection, even through the workplace manual. And I know a lot of us are awaiting getting our new workplace manuals. So if you keep all these things in mind, and if you get busy, and everyone come to the speech classes, it's there for you. Come to the speech classes. We even have speech classes for children now. Everybody, come to the speech classes, and it will help you. It'll help you to remember everything that you need to remember to guard against the wiles of Satan. And if you'll all please stand, it is my great honor and privilege to introduce to you, or present to you, the great Kahan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated on this beautiful Sabbath day. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here to speak to the saints of Yahweh. I want to leave off where the great Deacon David just left off, and there is a purple book laying here. Maybe he didn't see it. No, I brought it up here. That's what it is. It's that purple. It's kind of, I've got it zoomed in too far. You all see that? Okay, there's that purple book that the great Deacon David was talking about. Gold, pure fine gold, 13th book of Israel, part 2. If everybody, by the way, I want to mention something that was just mentioned. If everybody can see this, again, this purple sash that we all wore, or the priests wore at the feast. You can see my 6 is kind of coming off. I noticed some of us, by the end of the feast, some of our numbers were missing. But we can get them somehow stitched on there where they don't fall off. Everybody wore, all the priests wore this sash. And that 7613, that's very interesting. I want to show you something, as a matter of fact, in this new 13th book of Israel that I just showed you. Again, you can all see that, right? Now, as you know, these books are printed way in advance of the feast. It's not, let me just explain. The 13th book, part 1, was put out last Tabernacles. Okay, the gold book, the 13th part 1, this one was put out this feast. And the sermons that were given in this feast were actually sermons from the second part of 2013. Now, y'all remember when that 7613 information was brought out? Remember about the great judge in South Carolina that saw the 7613 impression on the computer, and we gave that sermon about the Peacemobile down there and all that? The 7613, everybody remembers that, right? That was in December of 2013 that information was brought, late December. This book was not even in existence at that time, but if you'll notice, when you open the page, the very first chapter 1, 7:6-13 is the first sermon in that new book. Now, isn't that amazing, the foresight that Yahweh has? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I'm sorry, you know. Not even the greatest con man and known to man could ever come up with this. Okay, now I want to show you today, that wasn't my sermon, but that's a part of it. I want to go back in our mind and stir up your minds here. We all remember this picture. Actually, this is a wide angle picture of that nebula, the Horsehead Nebula. And even in this wide angle picture that you can see, you can still see very clearly here our pastor, very familiar outline of him, and our great high priest. But, and then here's a closer shot of it for everyone to see. Let me see if I can, you can see that? Look at the detail in that. You know, actually, that's not a beard you see on his face. That's a veil. You see that? It's a veil. Very, very, very clear. There's, you can see our pastor's glasses and his kippah and his beautiful robe, his tallit he has on here. But that's not the nebula picture that I want to show you today. If everybody would turn to Revelation chapter 6, I want to show you another one, kind of go over it today. Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 8. It's on page 975, Revelation 6, 8, and it says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Sheol, the grave, followed with him. And power was given to him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with pestilence, the same under the authority of the beast of the earth." Now, I want to show you another picture of the same Horsehead Nebula that was taken at the same time, right around this, actually it was the same time that that first one was taken back in April of 2013. And anyone can go online on Google and Google and you'll find this image if you just put in Horsehead Nebula. But now, I want you to understand something about the nebula. The reason that we could see into the nebula that we just saw Pastor and Yahshua in is because they hit it with an infrared light. Infrared helps them to see what is within that nebula, that cloud. Remember, nebula means cloud. And without that, the nebula just looks pale. It looks dark. Okay? You can see an outline, but you can't see what's within it. So they hit it with an infrared light. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, you see this pale horse. Okay, it's pale colored, the horse head here, they call it the Horsehead Nebula. And if you'll notice very closely here, you will see a woman in the neck of that horse. Right here, you see her with her head covering and she's looking down. You know, like, let me show you how she always looks in the paintings that they show us. Like if you go online and you look up Saint Mary, they call her. Here's what she normally will look like. Okay, looking, having, this is their form of holiness. Having the hands clasped, looking down. And if you'll notice, it's the same type of image in that neck. Can everyone see that on the monitors? Okay. Here's the face, she's looking down, and she's got the thing on her head. And this isn't because Mary is the one that's, remember, this is the pale horse. And it's showing the one who is over this death. And it's showing Revelation 6:8 here, it's showing the pale horse, and who's riding that horse, the authority. And if you'll notice, she's looking down here at, she's looking at the earth below her. And if you'll notice, there's only a fourth part of the earth shown in that picture. You don't see the whole earth. You only see the fourth part of the earth. And if you'll notice, see all that ash and soot rising up from that part of the earth? Can everybody see that? Right here. Okay. Now, what's interesting is during the feast, we heard a sermon by one of the great women in the house of Yahweh about the feast in 1981, the Feast of Tabernacles, where it rained all around the house of Yahweh for the entire feast. But yet it didn't come here. It didn't rain here. It was that we had that protection, that pavilion, that defense. Okay? Now I want you to notice, now that's the fourth part of the earth that she's looking down on. But if you move over this way to the west, okay, to the west part, okay, you see there's the fourth part, and you move westward, what you're going to see here, first of all, is this is a three-dimensional image. I know it's probably going to be hard to see on your screen, but right in here is a three-dimensional image of the front of the House of Yahweh sanctuary. In fact, you can faintly read right here, House of Yahweh, right there at the top, along that edge. That's the way the sanctuary used to look, okay? The old picture of the front of the sanctuary. It's a 3D image. And if you'll notice above it, you see that opening there? In the clouds, there's clouds all around it. Right? You see this? But over the sanctuary, there's a big opening there. And then this big, bright, could that be Yahweh Shema? I mean, who knows? But again, there's that covering. There's that protection. Notice, there's things all around, but it's not coming near the house of Yahweh. Now, isn't that remarkable that that story would be in this nebula? The same nebula, by the way, that you see Pastor in Yahshua and the Roman soldier and all that in that I showed before. Now, in my last few minutes, I would like you to, if you would, turn over to, let me find my note here. I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 5 in Isaiah 4. I'll give you a page number. Isaiah chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 5. And it says, When Yahweh has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood from the midst of Jerusalem by the Spirit and burning, verse 5, Yahweh will create over every dwelling place of Mount Zion, over those whom he has gathered there, a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all their glory, Yahweh will create a defense. Now, I also want you to turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 with that in your mind. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Sorry, I didn't give you a page number on the last one, but I'll do it on this one. Page 522, we're going to look at verse 12 in Ecclesiastes 7. Now, I want you to remember how this, you know, our defense. You know, I know over in Israel right now, if you're thinking of running to Israel for protection, the country of Israel, okay, you're jumping from the fire to the frying pan because, you know, I know over there they have a defense system, a missile defense system. It's called the Iron Dome. Have you ever heard of that? It's called the Iron Dome Missile Defense System. Because remember, the world puts their trust in warfare, weapons of warfare. But as you remember, the great Apostle Shaul said that our weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're not guns and knives and bullets and grenades and things like this. Verse 12 says, "For wisdom is a defense, like money is a defense. But the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it." Wisdom is what's going to give us life. Remember, Pastor's teaching us about these microorganisms that are going to protect us. Okay, remember that? And the way that we're going to have power over these microorganisms and command over those microbes
is by following this peaceful solution character education program. That's how we're going to destroy our enemies. Not by killing them, not by hurting them in any way. We're not going to bring harm to anyone. What we're going to do is we're going to teach them. We're going to teach them the peaceful solution character education program and knock down these images in their mind of these gods. Okay, that have been built up in their minds by this system. Remember, that same system that you see this woman right here. Remember, she represents who? Who sits on the seven hills of Rome pushing forward this saint right here to the world? It's the Catholic Church. It's the Pope. Remember, all roads lead to Rome. Okay, all roads lead to Rome, and pastors constantly reminding us, no, don't look anywhere else. It's on the city of Seven Hills, okay? Now, I want you to keep those things in mind. And at this time, it's been a great pleasure to speak with you. At this moment, it's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Everyone may be seated. Keeping in mind in the theme of what we've been hearing for many years from the house of Yahweh, this alarm that has been sounded by the seventh trumpet, and it's been sounded out of a love and compassion that Yahweh instilled within this man from the training of his mother and father to want to teach and educate people, to help people, even those who would hate him and fight against him. In doing these things, he has strived to do so. And we can see the character that even our Savior had in our great teacher with his compassion, even though someone may spit on him or call him names or come against him to try to destroy him and, of course, this great house. He still offers open hands to them and tries to help in each and every way that he can. And that's truly the character of the house of Yahweh, to try to assist and help anyone who's willing to take help and accept this offering of help. The house of Yahweh has always been there for doing so. I wanted to go over something that came out in the news very quickly. This is a CBS News article, and these are things that Pastor, once again, has been sounding for years for the safety and protection of Yahweh's people. Now, he recently said during the feast, when we go out into this world, you know, make sure to spray yourselves down with lye water and thieves. Spray your face, you know, spray your feet. Spray everything. Don't let it go. And then when you get it back here, spray it again. Wipe it down. Now, these things, they seem like a very minor thing to do. And sometimes spraying lye water on something, we don't see the microbes which are cleaning up a product or wiping off something after we spray lye water on it. We don't really see what's taking place. But we have to believe without seeing. Well, this coming out in the news, actually, it was released CBS News April the 30th of 2014. And it says, antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria have now spread to every part of the world and might lead to a future where minor infections could kill. Now, this is according to a global report published Wednesday by the World Health Organization, which is also known as WHO. It is the first international survey of the resistance problem. WHO found very high rates of drug-resistant E. coli bacteria, which causes problems including meningitis and infections of the skin, blood, and the kidneys. The agency noted that there are many countries where treatment for the bug is useless in more than half of the patients. So more than half of the patients who put their hope in this sorcery and who put their hope in these physicians, in this money-making system, that's what it is, a money-making system, they're finding that it's false hope now. They're not succeeding in these things any longer. And now they're admitting that their system is crumbling. Now, it goes on to say, unless there is urgent action, the world is headed for a post-antibiotic era in which common infection and minor injuries, which have been treatable for decades, notice treatable, not curable, but treatable, for decades, can once again kill. And that's according to Dr. Fukuda, which is one of the agent's assistants, director generals. Now, that's for WHO. And he warned in a release that the report called it a problem so serious that it threatens the achievements of modern medicine. The achievements of modern medicine. Well, remember what the achievements of modern medicine is. It is to treat you and to the goal of a medication or a physician if they truly wanted to end the sin and the pain and the misery, would you not look to see what the cause of the pain and the misery is? Of course you would. And that's what Yisrael Hawkins has been bringing for years. He's never said that, you know, if you break your arm, you can't go to the doctor. But don't go out and commit sins, commit abominations, and expect a pill to fix it. It won't do it. That is truly what Yahweh says is the sorcery of this world, is the taking of this medication and thinking it's going to reverse the choices of your sins, these negative choices. It won't work. And now they're acknowledging that these things are not going to work. Now, it also says that other reports have found that antimicrobial resistant bacteria doesn't only exist in public places, it is also starting to show up in our homes. MRSA is often found in hospitals and nursing homes, but is now showing up in our homes. The bacteria can cause pneumonia and bloodstream infections and is now common in some households, according to a study published earlier this month in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. You know, it made me think of when it's a blood infection, how the blood is screaming out, you know, from within, how they're screaming out from within. Now, these are things that Pastor has warned us about, and he's trying to instruct us on how not to allow these things in our homes. And it truly comes down to choices. No one has ever forced anyone in Yahweh's house. That is the way of the world, to force someone to do something. We're allowed to freely choose. And for every action, there is a reaction, as we have read many times, and it's even spoken of in the Respect Unit of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. For every action, there's a reaction. For everything that we say, there will be something in reaction to that. And every action we take, of course, will always an action in return. If you'll please turn over to Proverbs on page 499, Proverbs chapter 6. It's truly important that we take every ounce of information, every bit of information that has been brought to us in these last days, and thoroughly apply it to our lives. Consider our ways, consider our choices, consider why we were created in these last days to become in that very image, to be created in that image of Yahweh, which we see through our Savior and High Priest, Yeshua Messiah, and we also see it in our great teacher, who is the only one picked in these last days, the only one preordained to bring this message. Praise Yahweh. That is something that we have to thoroughly believe. If someone, maybe if someone is new to hear about the house of Yahweh, I would think that if you truly want to see if this man is telling the truth, you would examine his teachings, listen carefully to what he has said, and then look at what the world is saying and compare. You'll find very quickly that the world only comes up with things just after he brings them. He talked about the microbial atmosphere that we have and how there were STDs in the clouds, and these things are coming out. When rain was created, rain was meant to disperse evenly. We have droughts in one area, we have floods in another. That rain was supposed to be dispersed evenly across the lands, but it's not. The confusion is even in the microbes to where they cannot even do their jobs properly. And we're seeing that. And it's the choices that man has made. And of course, that's what he's speaking of when we have to earn this trust of the microbes by not sinning. But in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "How long will you sleep, O sluggers, when you rise out of your sleep? When will you rise out of your sleep? A little more sleep, a little more slumber. A little longer with hands folded in slumber." Many people would think, well, that's talking about if someone doesn't want to rise early, they want to sleep all day long. But this is talking to us in these last days. And it's asking us, how much longer will we doubt what the witness says if we are doing that? How much longer will we not take heed to be quick to obey, to be obedient, to make sure that we're very quick to follow the instructions, which is life itself, from Yahweh's last days witness. Once again, the only one sent to speak on Yahweh's behalf in these last days. It is the voice of Yahweh to us. It is Yahweh speaking to us, saying, this is the way you must go. Now walk ye in it. Be very obedient to what I've said. Look over to chapter 1 and verse 22 of Proverbs. Chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, "Proclaiming, how long, you simple ones, untutored, will you love simplicity, ignorance? How long will you scorners delight in your insolent scoffing and mocking? How long will you fools, those who turn away from the right way hate knowledge. Now, that's exactly how we're being classified, and that's why Yahshua Messiah said, "O fools and slow of heart, to leave all that the prophets have spoken." If we are to take this message, and we receive it, we receive the instructions along with it, and we turn from it, if we think, you know, I went to Walmart for years, or I went to this store, or that store, any store you want to name, and I bought stuff for years. I didn't wipe it down. I didn't suffer anything. When does death begin? Does it begin when you quit breathing? No, that's when death completes itself. Death begins at the sin. Whenever we commit a sin, death begins within our body. And unless we repent of that sin, we will surely die. I knew a man that suffered from colon cancer. And the doctor told him before he died that he most likely got the colon cancer when he was in his mid-30s. The man died at 59 years old. He never realized he had colon cancer till he was 57. Now, that matured in his body all of those years, and he never seen it. Now, if we could take a look at ourselves, and we could see the end result of our decisions, how scared would we be at some of the things that we actually choose to do that may not be in complete submission to what Yahweh's greatest teacher on the face of this earth brings us? If we could actually see the final result of our decisions whenever we're doing things at that time. In other words, see 10 years down the road. You know what? We can do that by believing everything that He has brought us, by wiping down containers, by removing ourselves from the uncleanness of this world, by not eating unclean foods, by salting all of our sacrifices, by being obedient to the each and every word that Yahweh has brought us in these last days through our teacher. We can truly see these things. Turn over to Matithiah chapter 25. And remember what we've been called to do in these last days. Of course, our obedience. Obedience is the keys to the kingdom. And that is what is needed that we may be able to conduct ourselves, to prove ourselves worthy of this job that we've been called to do. And it's very important that we remember, all of us are given this opportunity of these mansions. As Yahshua said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." And of course, these things are being offered to us. These things are being offered to us. Not that we can, you know, one day soon here, move in and live the high life, you know, sit back, crash out, hang out by the pool all day, because now we're in a mansion, now we've got it easy. We're promised one thing throughout eternity, a few others, but we're promised that we will work forever. And it will be hard work. Overcoming is hard work. And it will be a continual thing. We will never stop working toward perfection. We will always strive for perfection. We won't reach perfection and now we're done. It will be a continual thing. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, chapter 25, it says, "For the kingdom of Yahweh will be like a man going on a journey into a far country who summons his own servants and handed his possessions over to them. He gave them something that belonged to them, to him. Now, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his ability, and immediately went on his journey." So everyone was giving something that this man had. He gave it over to his servants. And consider what Yahweh handed Yisrael Hawkins many years ago. He didn't ask Pastor if he wanted to do this job. He ordained him to do this job. He was created to do this job. Praise Yahweh. Look around at all the history of the house of Yahweh. Look at how things have grown. Look at how many people sit here today from the very first Passover, which there's many pictures out of, where there was just one table and chairs on each side. Very few people there. We have more priests that sit on the stage today than were in the very first Passover. Look at the global support the house of Yahweh receives from people who have not even yet made it here. Thousands of people who are following Yahweh's last day's witness. Praise Yahweh. Through these things, we actually see where Pastor was given talents and he has increased immensely with these things. But now, what are we doing? Because some were given 5 talents, as verse 16 says. One was given 5, and of course, he increased them. Let's go ahead and start with 16. It says, "Then he had received the 5 talents, went, and he traded with the same and made with them 5 more talents. He who received two did the same and also gained two. But he who had received one went and dug it in the earth, and he hid his ruler's money. Or he hid this valuable possession this ruler had given over to him. Each one of us have been given knowledge. We've been giving wisdom and we've been giving understanding. This golden oil which flows forth from Yahweh's great house. It is our job in these last days not to take this message in and hoard it to ourselves. We're commissioned in these last days to become teachers of teachers. That these children that are coming up in Yahweh's house will also be teachers of teachers. All of us are children, young children at the feet of the witness, but we must learn to be teachers of teachers. If we're assigned a job and we're the only one that ever learns to do that job and we never train anyone else how to do that job, we've taken our talent and we've buried it. We must learn to do our very best to be as our teacher and train at administration to complete this great work that is being done in these last days. And in that way, think of the stress that could be relieved from all the pressure that comes from trying to do everything yourself if you had a group of people to assist you in it. That's how this work was done in these last days and is being done. At this time, if everyone will please stand, I would like to introduce the great Kahan Benaiah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with you. And listen with a believing mind. And of course, buckle up. All right. We're going to continue in a prophetic vision. All right. In a prophetic vision, which we better do and believe. All right. We're going to continue where we left off last feast, if you still remember. Maybe you remember. You will remember in a little bit, okay? In a little bit, we're going to continue where we left off. Yahweh is going to glorify his name in his last days in a way that it will be spoken of throughout eternity. All right? And that's a great thing. This is not just a little thing. Concerning prophecies, you got to believe three things and mark them in your mind. Prophecy is for believers and not for unbelievers. You got to search the scriptures and you can find it in 1 Corinthians 14:22. The second thing you got to remember is in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Where there are prophecies, they will be fulfilled. The house of Yahweh is the greatest prophecy in these last days being fulfilled, shining like a light. All right? And if you don't believe those things, and we know it came through a man called the branch, and you can search the scriptures, like Yeshua said, search the scriptures, and you will find it. I'm not going to tell you the scriptures. You got to search it. Keeps you awake. In a prophetic way. All right, so where there is prophecy, they will be fulfilled. Now, the house of Yahweh was established according to the prophecies, all right? And the man of Yahweh, the servant of Yahweh, was revealed according to the prophecies, all right? But there is more to be fulfilled, and that's going to come in a very short time now, all right? And Yahweh will do great things. And however, in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people will perish. Now, you could be here in the house of Yahweh, and you don't believe these prophecies, which are spoken of from the beginning and to the end, you will perish. Because you have no prophetic vision in your mind. You don't believe the prophecies. Why wouldn't you believe the prophecies? Yeshua said, you are fools if you don't believe these prophecies. You think the house of Yahweh is here just with a big bang? No. There's a million scriptures in here. You could talk forever. We're going to talk about how this came to pass. In the middle of a wicked system, Hillel took over this earth, and look how perverted her people are. And their people, they don't believe these prophetic visions. They will perish. And if anyone here is here, you better examine yourself and search the scriptures so you may not be a fool and not believe all that the prophets have spoken. And that you can adjust yourself. That you will live by the every word of Yahweh's servants. Yahweh speaks to his servants, all right? That you got to believe also, according to the prophecies, that is. So remember these three things, all right? Prophecies for the believers and believers only. Now we know that Yahweh now, he's going to have a great gathering. The earth will give birth. Nation will be born at once. And Yahweh will gather his people together. Now, don't believe that they all are going to be converted. That's not going to come instantly. That's going to be our job, all right? We're going to go through the scriptures then and see these things. So, and he will be glorified. He says, you are my servant, Israel, through whom I will be glorified. Now, Israel is not by himself. As we see, there are some do believe the prophecies, all right? So in Isaiah 66, and Yahweh is going to make a sharp dividing line. He will make a dividing line here between the wicked and the righteous. And you will see how that's going to occur. It's going to be horrible for the wicked, that is. All right, now in Isaiah 66, where we left off, all right, in Isaiah 66, here we're going to see now in verse 8. He says, will the earth be made give birth in one day, and will a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion labors, she gives birth to her children. Look in Isaiah 51 and let's see who Zion is. All right? Everybody thinks of the Mount Zion. And Yahweh didn't talk to Mount Zion. In 51 verse 16, Isaiah says, I have put my words, the law and the prophets, in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hands. I have planted the heavens. I lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, you are my people. And believe it or not, he says, behold, I have engraved you in the palm of my hands in 49:16. I have behold Zion, the house of Yahweh, is engraved in the palm of Yahweh's hands. Your walls are continuously before me. So the house of Yahweh is closely monitored. By Yahshua is leading his witness, his fellow servant Israel, all right, and tells him what he will do, all right, and he will gladly do these things. So now, will the earth give me birth? All right, before we go into that, there's a division going to come here, all right, very soon. Remember when they came out of Egypt? In the beginning, we had to suffer. They had to suffer with the earth, all the sins and all the sickness and disease and death. The children of Israel were not exempt that time. Neither we are exempt this time. But very soon that's going to change drastically. All right? All right, now look up here in Isaiah 66. So in verse 4, all right? Because they, and I hope nobody falls in the category of them. We are the house of Yahweh, okay? They choose their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. So will I choose their delusion and bring what they fear up on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not listen, but did evil in front of my eyes and choose that which I do not delight in. Now, he says, when I called. This is talking about these last days, you understand? There was no former time that you were called out here. So now people come here, 3 out of 4 Yahweh sends away again, because when he called, they didn't say, no, don't tell me nothing. I don't want to join these classes. I know, I read my own Bible, you know. So don't tell me nothing. See, he's talking about them, all right? And they choose. So now we're going to see then, and he says, Yahweh choose their own delusion. Yahweh will never do anything that is wicked or bring harm to any soul. But when you do wickedness, you already choose your own reward. You're going to get the wicked reward. However, if you do righteousness, you cannot reward yourself for the things which are righteous. That has to come from Yahweh, as we will see how he will do it. In a multitude of people, that's when Yahweh will be glorified, through the people which are called with his name. It is written in the scriptures, and you search the scriptures and you will find it. And you will rejoice when you find this. So now the earth is about ready to give birth, all right? In other words, Yahweh will deliver a lot of people here. Now here says there will be a dividing line. He says, hear the word of Yahweh, you who tremble at his word, or you who believe the word of Yahweh, who believe the prophecies from his house, from his servant. Your brothers who hate you, who cast you out because of my name. Now say in scorn, you have heard that too. Let Yahweh show his glory. Let us witness your joy. But they will be ashamed. How many times did you hear, where is the glory of Yahweh? Where is the nuclear war? The nuclear war is not the glory of Yahweh. But you're going to see in a little bit what the glory of Yahweh is. Because Yahweh is the only one who can heal, not those false saints. They can heal nothing. There's no miracles in them, only false delusions, all right, that can be proven. So he says, and I will show them. So the wicked reward themselves, all right? They will reward themselves. Now, in verse 6, the sound of noise from the city, that is from the city of Babylon, the voice from the sanctuary of the house of Yahweh, the voice of Yahweh, who renders recompense, he says, to his enemies. He who renders recompense to his servants. We're going to look up the word recompense. The servants, remember, they reward the wicked, they reward themselves with their own evil deeds in their own bosom. The minute you do wickedness, the curse without a cause is not coming. All right, now remember this. It's because of this, let us witness your joy. You know, when the house of Yahweh was established, the man who bears witness to all nations, he says, and you go on, proclaim the joyful message of the kingdom of Yahweh. They obviously don't believe that there is a joyous, you have nothing heard but a joyous message, which there's a kingdom, an everlasting government ahead, and you are the government employees. First, number one, the last one's going to be first. And that's the joy. If you really think and meditate on those things, you can meditate 28 hours, not only 24 hours on those things. So let us witness you, but they will be, see, these are the mockers, the scorners, they who choose the evil, they who cast you out. Don't say anybody's, oh, they cast me out from the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh invites people. We have programs here for everything. You're angry, we got program there. We got, you're sick, this is the general hospital. If you're sick in your mind, it's very simple-minded. Come and listen. There's teachers, doctors all over here that can help you. If you are willing and obedient. But you know something? Not everybody's willing. Like Yeshua said to, when he was in Jerusalem, he says, Jerusalem, he said to the people, how many times would I like to guard you? When any prophet came, Yahweh sent a prophet, he wants to guard his people so they don't have to come to this suffering. But of course, they were not willing. This time they will be willing. Not all, but some will be. So therefore, he says, so they cast out. No, we don't want nothing to do with your classes. We don't want to do nothing with your books of Israel. We don't want these things. And you might have some here. They still say the same thing. All right? So it's not that the house of Yahweh. No, we say, don't go. Stay here. Come to these classes. The house of Yahweh can help you. Regardless what problem you had in the beginning, you can be helped if you are willing. Now, So they cast the house of Yahweh away. They go. We don't want to have nothing to do with Israel. We don't believe he's the witness. See, they are fools. They will perish. And that is a prophecy also, right? Now, look in verse in 65 chapter in Isaiah. Therefore, this is what Yahweh says. Now, listen, this is all prophecy. This is what Yahweh, your father, said. Behold, my servants will eat. You get it? In these last days, before Yahshua's return, my servants will eat, but you will be hungry. My servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. Behold, my servants will rejoice, but you will be ashamed. Behold, my servants will sing for joy of heart, but you will cry for sorrow of heart and wail for vexation and grief of spirit. You see the dividing line here? This is the prophecy and the promise of Yahweh, and we're going to live this through. Yes, you're going to rejoice. You're going to go forth like in Malachi, it says, if you want to stretch the scriptures. But for you who reverence my name, the light of righteousness, the law of righteousness will arise with healing in the wings, and you will go forth like calves released from the stall. The store is the house of Yahweh, all right? And you're going to go released. What are you going to do, go outside and jump for joy? No. You're going to be released in the wilderness of people. And Yahweh says, and there I will plead with you face to face, all right? And I will pluck out the rebels. And Yahweh sent his Malachim, and they will pluck out of his kingdom those who offend, those rotten apples or potatoes who contaminate everything. You're not going to leave that in a basket, would you? Not in my neighborhood. All right. So anyway, do you see how Yahweh will make a thing? And this is the work, how Yahweh will be glorified. All right. Now, and here he says, let's go back in verse 8 again. Will the earth give birth? Now look in verse 9. Now we know as soon as Zion labored, as soon as the house of Yahweh was established, Zion start to labor, all right? It's recruiting now. Right now the message is going forth, the peaceful solution to recruit laborers. There's a lot of people we got to be amongst very soon. He says, will a nation be born, in one day? All right, now, will I bring to birth and cause delivery, not cause delivery, says Yahweh? Will I who cause delivery shut off the womb, says Yahweh? Let's turn and remember what it says in Daniel 12, verse 1. All right. In Daniel 12, verse 1, delivery. Remember the word delivery. I got a little book called the Oxford English Dictionary, all right? And here we read delivery. Remember, will a nation be born in one day? We heard about a great deliverance, right? Bring and hand over something to a person who is to receive it. Did it not promise that he will lay the nations in front of Israel from the house of Yahweh? And all nations eventually will come, all congregation. Yahweh will deliver them to his house very shortly. Like a child is delivered, somebody got to bring the child to someone who's ready to receive it. And the house of Yahweh is about to receive the nations or the leftover from the nations, all right? Because the earth is in bird banks. This year you can watch for catastrophic weather, okay? You can see it, rain here and there. People, they get washed away, streets being washed. It's a mess, that's what it is. All right, now, the delivery. Provide something promised or expected. Through the prophecy, Yahweh has promised a great deliverance to his house. And all nations will come eventually, remember? Eventually, and they will be delivered with the ships of Tarshish first, right from the Middle East. I would say they start there, they're coming down around Spain, there, right to the coast of Texas. We're going to see where they're going to be then. All right, now, so, promised or expected, all right, now, save or set someone free, all right, save or set someone free, okay, and then deliverance, the action of being rescued or set free, all right. They will be set free from the bondage of Satan through his house. All right, now, if we go over to deliverance, all right, mark that word and look it up, all right, the word deliverance. And you can look it up in Strong's also, all right, in Strong's Concordance. It says practically the same thing. Now, we have another word here to recompense, all right, in verse 6. And I will recompense, he says, renders recompense to his enemies. Now, we're going to look up the word recompense now, all right? Recompense means to compensate or make amends to someone for loss or harm suffered. Now, would Yahweh, now think about it, would Yahweh compensate someone for their evil? They already rewarded themselves with evil, all right? To make amends to someone for loss or harm suffered. Pay or reward someone for effort or work, or make compensation or reward. That is the reward of the righteous. You cannot reward yourself for your righteous deeds. But Yahweh will come, he says. He will come with recompense to his servants. Forget about his enemies there. They already get their reward. He will render recompense to his servants. And we're going to see how, all right? Let's turn over to... Because Yahweh will bring them to a protected place, and we're going to see the protected place, all right? Now, the word protect, all right? Remember the word deliverance, the word recompense, recompensate the righteous. And the word protect keeps safe from harm or injury, safeguard through laws against collecting or hunting. Hillel has so many laws she made, and her children suffered. They have so many courts and laws, her laws and her judges, they're there to condemn you. She made so many laws that she knows that you will break them, and then she will punish you for it. Yahweh's judgment are not here to punish you, to wake you up, say, don't go, this is the way, walk in this way, and you will be free from that harm. In this way, he will reward us when Yahweh's judgment are in the earth. Very soon they're going to be. The message is going out. When the people come, we're going to be very soon in the wilderness of people. I hope you already be released like hell from the store with the knowledge of Yahweh, huh? And you're going to rejoice. You're going to rejoice when you see how you are capable of helping the people. That's going to be a reward that will be spoken of throughout eternity. Now let's turn over. Where are we going to bring them? And all this has to come before Yeshua's return. Remember, glory and honor will be given before the throne of Yahweh rises. Look in Isaiah 35, all right? In Isaiah 34, verse 1, it says, Come near and hear, you nations, and listen, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is in it, the world, that is in it, in the world, all the things that come forth in it. All right, so Yahweh, all right, they are hidden in for their own slaughter. While this is going on, Hillel's energy is working in a such an insane way that she would be actually capable of destroying the whole earth. But not so, because remember, Yahweh has a protected place. He bringing these people to a protected place, and you think Yahweh going to bring him here to let them starve? Yahweh will feed them. Could you feed a billion of people? Who can they do that? And there's something else Yahweh going to do besides feeding them. So don't worry, how are you going to feed them? That domain, I didn't say now, you shouldn't store up for any day, all right, for these waters. Now, in Isaiah, all right, come near. So actually, the address goes through all nations, through the one who preaches peace to all nations. And with that great deliverance and the joyous glad tidings, that's what I'm talking about, the joyous tidings. He says, search in the book and read. Not one of these will be neglected. Now, in Isaiah 35, remember, the house of Yahweh was built middle in a desert place. Texas, if you look around, you can go to the east, to the north, south or west, is nothing but a desert. You ever go through it? I went a couple times through it, you know. I said, well, where are the trees here? What's going on here? The God for second place, there's not going to be no gods left here anymore. Now remember, and then in Isaiah 6 it says, and will I, go back to Isaiah 66 verse 7. Will I cause delivery and shut off the womb? Will I cause delivery to shut off the womb, he says. Now, the womb are the nations. They have borders. And they have gatekeepers there, right? These are parts of the gates of hell. Now, you can come and keep the feast of Yahweh. Do you know that? You're too ugly. Who is Yahweh? You know? What's going on here? You don't have enough money. Well, that's going to stop. Yahweh says, I will open the door and no one will be shattered. This time, they will stay open. Because there's a different kingship going on, a different rulership coming on. All right? So he will say, so there's another thing now. How can a nation be born? They're everywhere, in all the nations, they lock, the doors are locked. We should be overcrowded here. But we will be very shortly, because the voice, the trumpet, the sound, remember, let my people go, pharaohs. More than one pharaohs there. Couple of beautiful flowers from the mother's garden. But anyway, they will see who they deal with. Yahweh says he will reward his servants, and we're going to see how. Now, the delivery. So Yahweh will deliver his people, and the borders will be opened. And you will witness this. Will you believe then? You will witness how these doors will be opened. Not only the doors, there's going to be a great deliverance from all the nations. They will come from the east, from the south, north, and west. They all will come, whatever is left, to the place of protection. Texas is a pretty big place. The house of Yahweh was placed in the middle in the wilderness. Let's go, The wilderness in 35, Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the solitary place will be glad for them. And the desert will rejoice and blossom as a rose. You ever see rain here? I saw once at the press room, we have 10 acres, beautiful acres. And there was one spring, was rain, and I went around there and I saw 17 different beautiful flowers I never seen in my life. Wow, I say, whoo, just that one spring, it was beautiful. And see, now it's all dead, dry, desert, nothing there. So again, think about what it will be when sin will stop here in Texas. Through the house of Yahweh, we will teach them not to sin, a peaceful solution. All right? And then the heaven can respond again. Yahweh Shema hovering over the house of Yahweh, over the earth, right above here. And before all this can go, all these other things, how Yahweh will glorify his name. Remember, the nations will come, the borders will be opened. And here he says, and it will blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. All right? They will see the glory of Yahweh, the excellence of your Father. In verse 3 it says, now that's why this all has to be before Yahshua's return. Strengthen the weak hands, who make firm the feeble knees. You know, when they come over here, they're going to shake. They're going to come from the war-waging nation. They will escape from there. And the military are going to bring them over here, or whatever is left. You're going to see that. You know why? They're going to hear the sound of the trumpet, and they will understand it. And they will understand, and Yahweh will feed these people here. And firm, he will set a table before our enemies. All right? Say those who have weak hands. This is before Yahshua's return. Say to those who have a fearful mind, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your Father will come with recompense. Here it says with vengeance. No, Yahweh doesn't take vengeance, or he's not angry, or he's not, you know, nothing. That's all added to it. He will come with what? With a recompense, with recompense. He will come and save you. He will come and heal you. So that people will come, the lame, other passages will come right into this Greek gathering. They will come from everywhere. And what you're going to say, you will go forth with healing in the wings, huh? And you will say then, he says, when they come here, and he will come to save you and to heal you, to save you from all these wicked laws. There's a new set of laws, a new set of judgment, not to be punished, but to be healed. And so they will come here. And now, and say those who have a fearful mind, all right, then, he says, when this is occurring, this gathering will come, will I cause a delivery and shut off the womb, he says, how will you come when the borders not open? They will come, you will see them. They will bring your sons and daughters from afar, from everywhere. It's a great family Yahweh is going to gather here together, and they will be willing to learn. Then, he says, then when this occurs, then the eyes of the blind will be opened. Who can make a blind man see? These popes, these false prophecies there? No. Only Yahweh says there is no other source of power than Yahweh. Remember these things. Now when they see that, hey, I was blind, maybe some are blind from birth out, but they come over here, they will see. And the ears of the deaf will be opened. You can hear nothing now. Maybe you can have eyes and you can read it. They will be unstopped. Then the lame man will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will silent. The silent ones will sing, for in the wilderness waters will break out with streams in the desert. Picture Texas, with rain, abundance of things, and the streams. Now, since you know that there's only one source of power, and that is Yahweh. Yahweh is the one. Now you might have here sit in these wheelchairs, but remember, he will send us forth with healing in the wings. Because you will humble yourselves, and you're going to take by to your wheelchairs. How would you jump for joy if you have no legs? How you will lift your hands if you have no hands? That's what you're going to see. That's what you will see in these last days when this gathering comes. Yes, that's how Yahweh will glorify his name. Yeshua already did a part of this job, and he says, greater things than this you will do, he says. Yeshua said, he raised the dead, he healed the sick, the lepers, and we, the Kohanim, have already given the authority in the Kohanim. When you get ordained, you have already given these authorities, right? To do the same thing, only this time in a multitude of people. Now, remember those one thing now. All right? So now remember what Yahweh, that's how Yahweh will glorify it. So read that again closely to him. This has to be before Yahshua's return, all right? Now, Yahweh will open the gates. The gates of the borders will be opened. The gates of the prisons will be opened. The gates of the churches will be opened. At the end, the gates of the grave will open. The gates of hell will never prevail again. This will you see. That's how Yahweh will glorify his name. Do you understand these things? You should rejoice. These are the glad tidings. And we are here just shortly before this, all right? And may Yahweh bless your understanding and think of the glad tidings that you receive here, all right? Don't look for faults. Overcome your own faults, all right? May Yahweh bless your understanding and keep you. And praise Yahweh. May Yahweh be glorified through his house and his servants. Praise Yahweh.